Hey there, I'm Paul Straw, and you're listening to Does Not Compute on Spec. We've got a new show called Orthogonal debuting on the network this week, and it's going to be pretty awesome. Andrew Carroll and Brett Kelly will be talking about all sorts of personal and freelance finance stuff. They've released a pilot episode already, so you can head over to spec.fm to listen to that, learn more, and subscribe.
So, Paul, we got another listener question.
Indeed we do, from Jake Schwartz in the Slack. If you're not in the Slack yet, come hang out in the Slack, like Jake.
I need to be there more often than I am.
So, he is asking, or he asked, I'm just going to try that again. So, Jake has asked, how do you come up with professional goals? Sean, how do you come up with professional goals?
So, I don't. I was thinking about that earlier today because we had mentioned that Jake had asked a question, or you had told me that Jake had asked a question. And I really don't. So, it's kind of timely, actually, because I was watching a video earlier on YouTube where this guy, he gives fitness advice essentially, and someone had written in and said, how do I get my wife interested in fitness? And he answered the question in two parts. And the first part was that a very slimmed down version is that a lot of people end up climbing and spending a lot of energy and putting a lot of time into climbing, quote unquote, a corporate ladder. And only at the end do they find out that the ladder is actually leaning up against the wrong wall. Now, that solely depends on what you want in life. If you want to do the corporate ladder thing and all that, then that's something you can do. But for me personally, I don't think that setting professional goals is necessarily bad. I just don't personally set milestones like by age X, I want to be doing Y. Instead, I found that I'm much happier when I like naturally get interested in something and I pursue that. And so for me, I spent a lot of my early 20s pursuing music and touring and doing that. And I kind of on the side naturally cultivated an interest in programming. And that's kind of what led me to where I am now. But I never really set a conscious goal to be programming for such and such company or anything like that. It just kind of naturally happened.
Yeah, I'm the same in a lot of ways. And I mean, I touched on this last episode a little bit when we talked about kind of our backgrounds and how we got into programming. But when I was a kid, I just wanted to do IT. I thought I would never be a programmer. And then when I started programming, I didn't think I would want to do client work. Or I didn't think I would enjoy that. And when I started doing client work, I really liked that, but didn't think I would want to do management. And when I started managing, I kind of just gave up on setting professional goals in the sense of like, what do I want to do next? Where do I want to be in 5 years? That is something that's never worked out for me, obviously. I've kind of ended up doing stuff that I never thought I would want to and not doing stuff that I thought I would really like and ended up maybe not liking so much. So now my only professional goal is to find stuff that I can be happy doing and that I can make enough money to live on. That's really it. That's all that matters to me, is because like that's the whole reason I have a job, is so that I can make money. And if I can be happy doing that job, then that's pretty great.
I think there's a lot to say about staying driven, right? And if your chosen profession is programming, then doing things that further you in that career. Obviously, we talk about learning a lot. We talk about practicing quite a bit. And, you know, I think there's a difference between trying to set hard goals, like we mentioned, like, what am I going to do next? What's my five-year plan? And, you know, going home. And I mean, this is fine if this is what you want to do, but going home and playing PS4 for 4 hours every night and not investing into the future. There's a big difference there. And I personally think that if you're looking for something or looking, trying to figure out where you want to go next, you know, think about what makes you happy or what you think is going to make you happy and plan around that. Because that is the end goal in life, really. I mean, it's really easy in our industry to kind of get sucked into programming is everything. The Silicon Valley is everything. Tech is everything. And it just consumes your life. But that's not the case. There's so much life to be had outside of what we do from, you know, our day-to-day jobs. So that's what I'm trying to do, you know, just figuring out what makes me happy. I know that writing music and playing music makes me happy. And I know that building software makes me happy. So that's what I'm practicing. That's what I'm trying to get good at. And, you know, the older I get, the more that I find, for example, I find that I'm into cooking and making good food, you know, so I'm starting to spend more of my time investing in that. And who knows, maybe one day I could be going to culinary school instead of programming or something like that. I don't know. I just know that I'm going to try to pursue what brings me joy as opposed to what brings me lots and lots of financial gain. Because I'm a firm believer if you do something well, if you enjoy doing it, you're going to do it a lot, which makes you good at it, which means you can probably make a living doing it.
Yeah, it really, in the end, I guess, just comes down to what you want to optimize for in your life. Some people want to optimize for day-to-day happiness. Others want to optimize for earning as much money as early as possible. And it's just, there's not necessarily anything wrong with either of those or a different approach. It's just choosing what your priority is going to be in the singular sense of that word. You can only really have one priority. If you luck out and are able to make a lot of money while still doing something that you really love, that's great. But you can't bank on that, I don't think.
Well, I think Bryn and Sarah are actually really good examples of this. I've known them for a long time. And if you're unfamiliar with them, I don't know how you would be, but they are the creators of Spec, essentially. But they're really good examples of this because I knew them in college. And so I moved to California before Bryn was out here, and we would talk, and he would just mention wanting, you know, he's always had all these crazy ideas. Like, I'm going to do this company or I'm going to start that company. He's always doing something, right? And not once when we were younger did he say, I want to start a podcast network and be successful doing that. He never once mentioned that. In fact, they started Design Details, and that's, you know, how I heard about Spec. So maybe it'd be even good to ask him, you know, about that, hit him up on Twitter or something. But it seemed to me like he's always like wanting to do something. I know that he wanted to do something where it would impact a lot of people, and he tried a bunch of different things, and this is what stuck. And it wasn't a thing where he made a goal and saying, in 5 years, I'm going to be doing this. It just kind of naturally happened because he was interested in certain things and he did them well.
So I was thinking, since last episode, we talked a bit about ourselves and how we got started and all that stuff. It would kind of be cool to maybe just go over some of the basics for other people who are just getting started out with programming, or maybe they just want to learn a new thing, and kind of talk about some things that we've learned over time about the best way to break into programming, as it were.
What I think is awesome is many times as we've mentioned these ideas, people keep asking. So it seems to me that there's so many people that are just coming our way saying, how can we get started? How can we get started? I don't know. To me, that's really encouraging. So Paul, let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of our experiences. And even recently, I'm still learning. Like, even last week, I learned some more stuff that I could even talk about today. So I've been doing this for, 6-7 years now? And I'm just constantly learning new things. So let's get into this.
I feel like one of the first things that needs to be said up front is that getting started with programming stuff can be pretty discouraging. When you're first starting out and you don't know anything, you just know that you want to try programming, Googling around and finding out some info about how programming works and all the stuff you're going to need to do to get started, it's sort of like, oh, I'm going to need to know HTML. Oh, and I guess to make it look pretty, I'm going to need to learn CSS. And if I want to make it so you can click on a picture and it makes a bigger picture, I guess I'll need to learn JavaScript. And then I'm going to need to figure something out called DevOps in order to actually put this on a server somewhere. And then I need to learn about security, and I need to learn about Unix, and I need to learn about deploy processes and build scripts. And there's something called TypeScript and another thing called CoffeeScript that supposedly I should be learning instead of JavaScript now. Oh, but what's ES6? Should I be focusing on that instead? And that sounds like so much stuff, because it is a lot of stuff. It's so much. There are so many different things that you have to learn to be a productive developer that can take something from an idea to a launch. And that can be really, really discouraging. But it's not just you. Everybody who has ever learned to program has faced this, at least to some degree, to some extent. People who are going through college feel really overwhelmed. People who are teaching themselves feel really overwhelmed. That's just part of the beginning experience. And that might sound discouraging, but to me, at least, that's one of the things that I love, is that there always is something new to learn. It's not like I get to a certain point and then stop learning about programming. If I do that, I will not be hireable within a year or two. It's always a learning and growing experience and getting better and teaching yourself. Always.
Well, one of the great things about programming is it forces you to learn a lot about yourself. It forces you to learn how you learn. I mean, if you're a book person, a video person, an audible person, it forces you to learn how patient you are. Are you an impatient person? Are you a patient person? It forces you to realize, are you an attentive person? Do you pay attention to small details, big details? Do you gloss over little things, or do you keep the bigger picture in mind, right? So it forces you to learn the type of person you are on many different levels. And that's a really humbling experience, because it always just shows you where you have room to grow. It's like I mentioned guitar a lot, or even weightlifting. One of the best ways to get an accurate picture, or actually really become self-aware of who you are, is to record yourself doing something that you think you're good at. And it will bring you back down to earth in a heartbeat, in a flash, because then you start to notice things as your mind is actively engaged in programming or playing guitar or whatever. You start to notice things that you don't as you're actively doing it. So another, maybe the biggest piece of advice I have is to learn how to be patient with yourself, learn how to be patient with others, but mainly yourself. So for me in school, I used to pick up on things really easily, like physics. I didn't have a problem memorizing stuff. I didn't have a problem memorizing English and grammar. I didn't have a problem with any of that stuff. But when it comes to programming, it took me a while to be easier on myself, right? I would get down on myself if I didn't pick something up right away or understand a concept or just get something. I would get really frustrated and discouraged. And it took me a long time to kind of be okay with that, because I realized that the biggest thing I struggle with is understanding documentation. And that is one of the biggest pieces of programming, is grokking documentation. I was listening to the Immutable podcast the other day, and I was listening to Sam Sofez talk about, I think someone asked them how to get into releasing open source software. And he said, if you don't have a good readme, I'm not even going to jump into the code and start reading. And it immediately hit me. I was like, man, I don't do that. I look at the readme and then I try to use the thing. I don't look at the readme and then jump into the source code and read it, or like parse the documentation. I realized that's something that I need to get better at. But if there was one thing that I would have known from the start, would be to invest a lot of time in reading source code, reading documentation, and being patient.
And being patient includes just being patient with yourself. When I was first getting started, I copy-pasted a lot of code, as I think many people do. And in a way, it feels like you're not learning. It feels like you're just copying other people's work. You're seeing something that you like and taking it. But really, that's how learning works. Repeating these things over and over. The first time you need to set up a Lightbox, you're probably just going to set up a jQuery plugin. You're going to find a jQuery plugin, the one that has the easiest thing that you can copy-paste to make it work on your site. And then you're like, okay, that's pretty cool. It's missing a feature that I would really like it to have, but I don't know how to do that. And then the next time you need to implement something like that, you maybe look in the internals a little bit more, because now you understand the basics of how it works and how somebody might hook this up. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess I can just change this thing and this thing, and then it'll work in a different way that I like a little bit more. And this is obviously a contrived example, but it's one that I actually went through when I was starting out as a programmer. I was like, learning about Lightboxes was just a thing. And there's no shame in copy-pasting. There's no shame in using plugins. There's no shame in using jQuery. There's no shame in using any of those tools that people might consider outdated now, or people might try to avoid now for various reasons. Because if it's something that helps you make a thing that is useful or interesting in some way to you, then that's awesome. So don't feel bad about copy pasting. Don't feel bad about stealing stuff at the beginning like that, because that's okay. And that's part of learning, and it'll help you grow.
Well, some people call that standing on the shoulders of giants, right? You say it's okay to use jQuery. On a kind of a similar note, it's okay to use something like Rails, right? jQuery, someone did a lot of work, or a group of people did a lot of work to save you time and to save you headache. And Rails, in kind of an abstract way, is basically the same thing. I mean, someone or a group of people spent a lot of time making this tool that saves you lots of time. So I learned how to program Ruby, or how to use Ruby, through learning Rails first. And there were certain aspects about that that made it more difficult, I think. But in the end, I still learned the concepts, and I still learned how to use Ruby. It's just that I had an application that came out of that.
I think having a goal in place like that, I need to build this application, makes it so much easier, at least for me. Because whenever I'd say, I just want to learn this thing for fun so I know it, but I don't have a end goal in mind, I don't have a project that I'm building in mind, it makes it very difficult for me. Even something simple like just a personal website, like an about yourself kind of page, can be a great project. Because let's look at this. If you make a yourname.com, I have paulstrauss.com. If I make that website as a first project, that's going to teach me a lot of different things. Obviously, I'm going to be learning the development stuff I need to actually physically make the thing. You're going to be learning about design, because you're not going to have a designer. You're not going to be handed something. You're going to be learning basics of how to lay out a page and how to make something usable and nice looking. You're going to learn about project management. You're going to learn about setting deadlines. You're going to learn about DevOps stuff, because you're going to need to publish that site somehow. You're going to learn about marketing, because I assume you're going to want people to go to the site after. You're going to need to go out there and talk to people and promote it. And you're also going to learn about receiving feedback, because those people you share it with are all going to have some thoughts on what you could have done better. And all of those things are such valuable skills just from doing something as silly as making your personal website.
A little bit about feedback there is very important as well. In learning how to program, you're going to meet other programmers. And in fact, it's really important to be around other programmers, or at least share ideas and talk to them and receive feedback about your code. But how you receive that feedback means a world of difference. So, you know, it's funny, I see a lot of people tweeting about the number of jobs they've received from LinkedIn, which would be zero, and the number of jobs they've received from Twitter, or people they just know or have met around, being much more than that. And it's pretty safe to say that most people, if you approach them and ask them for a code review and they respond badly to that, it doesn't speak very highly of you, and doesn't speak very highly of where you're going to take that skill or how you're going to develop that skill, right? So it's very important to learn how to be patient with other people and receive feedback without taking it personally, right? Separating what they're saying from you as a person to what they're saying about your code, because writing code is a very personal thing, or it can be a very personal thing, and it's really easy to get offended when someone says, this isn't implemented very well. You know, some people just naturally deal with this better than others. And if you're not the type of person that takes criticism well, and you want to be a programmer, well, it's an industry where you're going to be criticized and you're going to need to receive feedback. Also, the bit, Paul, where you said, you know, having a project in mind, I think that's really important, because personally, I tried to learn Rails 3 times and I failed twice. And what I mean by failing there is either I lost interest or just got stuck and moved on, which I guess also means I lost interest. And it wasn't really sticking for me until I got assigned a project, and the project was a Rails app. I think why this stuck for me was because it was a whole picture. It was like a complete picture that I needed to make, right? So the constraints were there, the features were there, the design was there, all that stuff was there. And granted, I got kind of lucky there because someone else did that work for me. But what I'm doing right now is I'm kind of working through some Phoenix stuff, because Elixir is interesting to me and Phoenix is interesting. And I have this Rails app for guitar exercises that I've built in the past, and it makes a perfect candidate for learning Phoenix and learning Elixir, because I knew how this was constructed in Rails. I know kind of on a more abstract level what problems need to be solved in terms of like authorization and authentication, and even down to the model level. Like, I know there's exercises, I know there's users, I know that exercises have images and stuff like that. So really, if you can simplify what you're building, if you can get all this stuff written down, then learning the technology makes it becomes a lot easier. Learning the programming side of it becomes a lot easier because you're not having to do two things at once and splitting your thought workload across two things. You know what you're building, and then you can just use the technology to build that. So if you've never programmed a web app before or even a website before, get a notebook and some paper, write down the requirements, go to other websites that might be something like you're making, and try to observe everything as possible. What are the features that are involved? You know, where are they being used? How is the header styled? How is the footer styled? And how does that play into the application? So just practice observing details, observing things, write them down, and then go about learning how to program by building that.
Yeah, services like Codecademy, Code School, Treehouse, all those are great. And I think they're an awesome supplement when you're trying to learn. But there's really no substitute for working on a real world project, like starting from scratch with your own code to accomplish a goal that you've set. That is where I think the book knowledge that comes from those services can actually get translated into how you think about these topics in the future. So like the way you approach a project is going to be defined by how you've approached projects in the past. It's not something that you'll magically get better at by going through school courses.
Yeah, that's very true. It's only achieved through repetition and focused practice. I mean, just this morning I was talking to another developer and I said, hey, you know, I'm brushing up on my SQL stuff. What are you up to? And they're like, oh, well, I jumped into regex last week, but I forgot it already. And it's kind of one of those things where, and I do this all the time too, I'll get interested in something and I'll spend a couple of days researching and then a week will go by and I won't remember anything, you know? So it all comes down to just using what you're learning. And it kind of goes in line with this. If you're learning how to practice piano or guitar or something, you almost always try to move faster than you might be able to, especially when you're learning. And the most detrimental thing you can do to your skill is in fact move faster or try to move quicker than you're able to. And one way that I would solve that with guitar was I would set a metronome and I would set it slow and I would just play slow first. And I would slowly ramp that up. And a lot of ways, it's kind of similar to if you're wanting to build a web app or a website, slow things down first. Don't jump into your code editor. Just get a piece of paper and a pen and just start jotting down ideas and start framing what you want to work on. And from there, if you have a specific problem to solve, it makes Googling and finding an answer much easier than Googling, how do I build a web app? It goes from how do I build a web app to how do I implement OAuth, or how do I implement an authorization system, or how do I implement even model relationships? When you kind of define that stuff up front, it makes it much, much easier. And so I think the last thing I want to mention on this topic, and not to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but I think it's super important to really focus in on learning how to be observant and learning how to break problems down. This has happened a bunch in the past where someone has said, you know, I'm learning how to make websites. Do you have any advice for me? And I'll say, yeah, find your favorite website and try to recreate it without copying and pasting styles. And almost certainly after I look at the code a bit, it's clear to me that they're not looking at the website as much a small component. They have a much more zoomed out view of the website. And part of being observant is being able to chop up things into small components. So when I see a website, I see a header, I see any sort of interactivity around that. Is there a flyout nav? Is there not a flyout nav? Is it... does it fix on scroll? Does it not fix on scroll? Does the footer, how many columns does it have? Is there any sort of like interaction or UI piece? I break it down into small chunks, right? And that's just part of being observant because I know to look for those small things because I've researched that, you know, I've done that before. It's difficult because if you've never done something before, you don't know how to break it up, right? You don't know how to separate it into smaller problems to solve. So if you're struggling with that, what I would say is open up the web inspector, and it might be intimidating at first if you look at the element views where you see all the HTML, but I would say close as many of those as you can and see how it's built higher in a hierarchy. So once you open the main wrapper, you'll probably find different sections. You'll find a header section, you'll find a main section, and you'll find a footer section. You open up the header section and you will find more top-level elements inside of that. And what I would do is I would start from there. So if you open up the main wrapper, or the body tag, you might see three root level elements. Start there. Pick one and start breaking it down and isolate that first without worrying about all the other stuff going on, and you'll have a much simpler time.
Remember to take a peek at all the other great shows on the network by visiting spec.fm. While you're listening, you should look them up on iTunes and leave a rating or review. It's the best way to help new listeners find the shows you love.
This is a little tune I like to call. My hair is still wet. That's it.
That's the whole song.
Because I got to dry my hair off before I get to...
Is it dry now?
Kind of. So my hair is long, like getting long now, so I need to... Sarah, don't tell anyone this, but sometimes I need to put it in a man bun until it dries, so that way my hair doesn't just go forward. So just before we did the call... I took it out of the man bun. I've never left the house like that.